Good morning, good midday, good noontime, good noon 30, good afternoon, good day, good evening, good night, good midnight, whatever time of day it is. See, I want you to know, hey, I'm Lynn Ferguson, and I approve this message. I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show, Lynn's Bins. It's a podcast dedicated to Black life in America and all over the world in music. So today, I want to talk about me yet again. So you just sit back, relax, grab a snack, and let's jump in. Lynn's Bins. Guys, so I just recorded this episode, so I'm actually going to make it even quicker, shorter than it was originally, because I did not like the way I sounded through the episode, and I was just annoyed listening to my voice. So I was like, if I'm annoyed, other people are probably going to be annoyed. So anyway, so I wanted to talk about this situation at this party that was thrown for me back in 2021, I believe. It might have been 2022. But I think it was 2021, by these associates, well, this main associate, Kenny, who was in this gang that I used to hang out with when I was younger. From like 14 to about 19 or 20, I hung out with these people who are like about 3 to 6 or so years older than me on average. And we would just party, have fun, all that good stuff. And I found out, like, later on that they did not actually know that I was 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 when they first met me, but most of them, but whatever. But yeah, so I fell off around 19 or so. I started deleting people's numbers out of my phone who didn't contact me much and who I didn't contact much. The only time we really saw each other was, like, you know, at parties that I would throw or that they would throw or whatever the case was or whatever. And at that point, it was just like becoming obvious to me that these are not the types of people who I really needed to be hanging around, because we weren't really friends. But I had like started reconnecting with some of the people through Facebook. Some people were sending me friend requests and this, that, and the third. Kenny was one of them. He ended up flirting with me, and I found out later, after, you know, I got to the party and everything, that he was actually trying to have sex with me and his girlfriend. And I was like, I don't have sex with women, so I was not doing that. So, you know, I had to decline at the end of the day. But he threw me a party. It was him there, this guy named James, who was fucking racist as shit, but you know, I thought he was cool for a minute. And he actually got into an argument with me about Trayvon Martin, trying to convince me that Trayvon Martin was, you know, that the situation was justified. And I was like, no, it was not. And even, you know, Kenny, who was white, had to jump in and be like, you know, actually it wasn't justified. Like, no, he was killed. And it was funny because it reminded me of when I was having that same argument with this black guy in our group when I was hanging out with him when I was younger, when Trayvon Martin was first murdered. And this black dude, who was a coon in the group, like, had the nerve to basically defend his murder, his execution by this white man, Latino man, white Latino. And in that same instance, Kenny had to say, George, no, this is not justified. So it's just crazy, because it's just like, you know, you'd be so far up white people's asses, you'd be further than they want to go. Long story short, toward the end of the party, I was reacting to us listening to Joan Jett. I think it was Joan Jett on the TV. To this day, I don't know what the song was, because I don't know much of her catalog. But basically, this is a situation of people trying to paint me to be someone who knows someone, or who was claiming to know something when I didn't. When really, what I said was valid. You know what I'm saying? So basically, I started going on this, you know, tangent about, you know, this whole spiel about, oh, you know, Joan Jett's fucking amazing, you know, her music is just so epic, and, you know, her being who she was just so epic, and it was just the perfect time, and to have such an extensive catalog that so many people appreciate, this, that, and the third. But I guess because the way I was talking about it, they made it, they believed that I was making it seem as though I knew so much about her. So they asked me, who is this right now? And me not knowing what the song was, I said, I think it's Joan Jett, but I mean, is it? They were like, ah, made all these, you know, like your team lost, you know, a touchdown or something like that, sounds and shit like that in response to me saying that and proving that I did not know who was playing at the moment for certain. And I'm just like, okay, look, I may only be able to name that song, I Love Rock and Roll, you know, saw him standing there by the wrecking machine. Something, he was only 17. Something, I don't fucking know. Said, can I take you home where we can be alone? Next, we're moving on. He was with me, yeah, me. Look, baby, I may not know more than a couple of songs, you know, that and Cherry Bomb, which is by Cherry, I believe, who was in the band with them, but, or with Joan Jett, when they were the Runaways. And I may only also know the movie The Runaways, or Runaways, with Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning, but let me tell you something. That does not invalidate what I said. And it was just so crazy, because it was just like, in the moment, I allowed them to, you know, I kind of was like, believing that I was like, you know, some fraud or something in that moment too, because, you know, I just went along with that, you know, shaming. And, you know, because I figured it was just, you know, I guess it does mean I'm a fraud if I don't know what this song means, but real, or the, who sings this song for certain. But because I don't know every fucking Joan Jett song, that means that I'm a fraud because I'm saying, talking about the impact that she had on the fucking world. Like, let's be real about this. What? So I just wanted to bring that because it's just like a really ridiculous situation that, you know, was upsetting me when I was thinking about it this morning because I remembered it for some reason out of nowhere. And I was like, you know, this is something I probably should bring to the podcast so that people can understand what these types of situations look like and, you know, possibly relate to this type of stuff that happens. But you know what? I'm also going to speak about this other situation that I somehow segued into in my about when I was working 2 years ago at Macy's. And I should have sued them because basically it was somewhat known that I was, you know, a transgender woman, or at least it was speculated. But for the most part, I was like, you know, it clearly was accepted that I was, you know, at least passable because I was always referred to as the woman I am. So, you know, clearly it wasn't like obvious to people that I was transgender or something. But it was a question to some people. I do know that it was in the environment. It was in the air. I could sense it. And that is what led to me being discriminated against and formally spoken to about a situation when I gave a dude my number. So I was almost basically managing but I wasn't the manager, in the jewelry department, and also would take over handbags and stuff too. But jewelry was right next to the sunglass hut. And the employees who worked there would be Macy's employees, but they would also be Sunglass Hut employees because they're technically working for Sunglass Hut, which is an individual entity. But because of the contract they had to operate within Macy's, you had to be a Macy's employee still too, technically. So anyway, there was this dude over there. He looked very fucking handsome to me. He was like Middle Eastern, and anyone from like a Palestinian to maybe a Saudi Arabian. And wasn't really super aware of the tensions between the Black and Middle Eastern communities as much as I am today. And I also was not aware of as much of the slavery, the enslavement of my people by Middle Easterners, Arabic people in particular. So this isn't on my mind or anything like that. It's not keeping me from, you know, thinking that this guy is cute or whatever. So I had spoken with him a few times, whatever, since I had been there. But on one occasion, I decided I was going to write my number down on a post-it note and just put it on the desk where he was working and, you know, give it to him. So, but not say anything, not actually hand it to him, just put it on the desk. It's obviously in front of him so he would know, you know, this is for you. But some first grade shit. But that first grade shit got me fucking formally spoken to, because I asked him before I put it down. I was like, hey, you know, first I just struck up a conversation because I didn't want to just go into it. But after, like, you know, we spoke for a hot second, I was like about to leave and I was like, hey, how old are you? And he was like 19. And I was like, what? So I had no idea. And I was a little dissuaded. So I walked away and I spoke with my only other Black coworker in that department at the time, who was like, she had no idea either. She thought he was cute too. And she was like, she, you know, I wouldn't let that deter you from this, that. But I was like, yeah, but you know, I don't even date dudes my age. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's just how I am. Cause you know, being a woman, you're already more mature than most dudes your age. But being a transgender woman, babe, you're more mature than everyone your age. So, you know, I barely even date people who are my age. I usually date people who are older than me substantially. So that would have definitely been out of character for me, but I was just like, he is so cute and he does not look 19. So I went over and I put the post-it note on the desk and it read my phone number and if you should need it or something like that on the post-it note. That was literally it. They pulled me into the office. They couldn't write me up or do anything formal because, you know, what the fuck would you write me up for? But they basically tried to shame me. And mind you, me being a transgender woman and being, you know, aware of how we are seen in the LGBTQI community, especially transgender women in particular, Black transgender women in particular. But, you know, I've always, you know, been aware of the dichotomy and the dynamic of us being wrong and everybody else being right and us being deemed as the worst things in society, including sexual deviants and pedophiles. So I have no reservations when it comes to designating that this is what they were doing. When they put me into the office and formally tried to address this, they basically were they were doing this because of who I am, and they were basically trying to shame me for even thinking that I could talk to somebody who was even a year younger than me, let alone me being 27 and this dude being 19. So it was just ridiculous because, you know, it made it seem as though I was doing something that was illegal or wrong or something. And even though I knew that wasn't the case, I felt very ashamed because they were shaming me. And I had, you know, like I said, I contend with this, you know, understanding of society deeming people like me, even though white men are the main culprits of sexual deviancy of all kinds, including and especially pedophilia. I have unfortunately known that I have to contend with those stereotypes. So I think that combination of that knowledge mixed with just being in that situation, it was just very, very unfortunate because it's like, you know, you're dealing with somebody who's like talking to you about who you've chosen to approach. That's not nobody else's business. You know what I'm saying? Like, as long as everything's above board, that's nobody's business. So for them to make that their business, and then I asked them, so what is the issue here? Because it's, I mean, to me, it seems like you're trying to tell me that I did something wrong. And they were like, at one point, the only Black manager at the place yells, well, he's 19, Lynn. And I said, what does that mean? And she couldn't say anything. So I'm just like, it was just really upsetting because I spoke about this before through this channel with a podcast episode, but I didn't mention his age because I still was feeling somewhat, you know, ashamed about the fact that, you know, they had successfully Cersei'd me, you know, Cersei Game of Thrones, shame, shame, shame. They had successfully Cersei'd my ass because I was like, you know, I don't even want to talk about this. Not necessarily because I think I did something wrong, but because I know that other people will, just because people don't need anything to go after transgender women, especially Black transgender women. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. But I thought more about it, and this morning I was like, you know, I need to talk about this because other women are going through this type of stuff, and that's not okay. It is not okay for you to be operating within your legal bounds and for you to be a person who, you know, feels that, you know, you've been talking to someone who might have a mutual interest or whatever. I mean, usually people do. And then you give them your number. Like, what is the problem with that? But this is what I was shamed for. And they couldn't formally do anything to me. All they could do was what they knew would do something to me, which was talk to me about it and basically shame me for it and make me feel as though I needed to, you know, regret my decision or something like that. And it just really upset me. I felt like I needed to bring this because so many of us are going through this. If me, as a woman who just a month after that was offered, you know, acceptance, or no, it was a few months after that, it was in January that I was accepted to SLU. If me being accepted, or excuse me, if me, a person who is accepted into a great university, is as intelligent as I am, who is a pre-law student focusing on this particular type of work, you know what I'm saying? And that's part of what inspired me to go in here as well, being yet again persecuted, because I've been persecuted throughout my entire life for every kind of fucking thing imaginable. This was the first time that this particular situation happened, because like I said, I usually date dudes who are older than me. But I have always been, you know, deemed as, you know, unviable and a, you know, nuisance and a menace to society just for existing, you know? So this was not new in that regard, but it was new in the regard to what the particular thing I was being fucking condemned for was. Because like I said, I never, ever, I think there was one time that I dated someone who was 2 years younger than me. And it was not even a date situation. It was just like we met up and it didn't work out. He actually offended me greatly when he first met me, and then he apologized and then he left. Or he apologized after he left. Yeah, it was just ridiculous. I just thought I needed to bring that because we don't need to put up with that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Because the only reason that that happened was because I'm a transgender woman. And it just really upset the crap out of me because I'm just like, okay, so like the reason that he brought that to his boss, this white woman who I had reported earlier, because she had done some racist shit, said some racist shit about a customer, she had a vendetta against me. So him bringing that to her was already, you know, gold for her. But the reason that he brought that to her was because he is bias against obviously Black transgender women approaching him. So he wanted to do something. He felt insulted and he wanted to do something to insult me and to get me to feel, you know, as bad as he felt in that moment, because he probably just wanted to fucking fight my ass. So instead he decided to do that. And what they should have done should have been like, okay, well, did you tell her that you did not like the advance, or, you know, did you just decline the number? Because, I mean, it doesn't seem that she's done anything wrong in this situation. That's what they should have done, you know? And then maybe mention to me on the side, somebody, you know, maybe my boss or something mentioned to me on the side, hey, you know, he tried to make a big deal about you giving him your number. I would just stay away from his ass, leave him alone, because he's clearly on a vendetta since then. You know what I'm saying? Something. But, like, or if they couldn't say that, then, you know, they don't have to say anything to me. But at the end of the day, for you to pull me into the office and make it seem like I'm the only person at this job who cannot give my number to someone is ridiculous, because I did nothing wrong whatsoever. I just gave my fucking number to a dude. You know what I'm saying? So, but for a hot minute, that has been, you know, pissing me off more and more. And it's also pissed me off that I did not pursue a case against them. But I was just like, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to fucking school and I'm going to make it so that I don't ever allow myself to be, you know, spoken to and directed in that way ever again by people who should have never fucking done what they did. But I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show. And I welcome you next time we jump in Lynn's Men's. Thank you.